Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Return to Sender Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
This is an interesting little story, man. One day, God was looking down at Earth and saw all of the evil that was going on. And we know all about that.
Much of that, indeed.
He decided to send an angel down to Earth to check it out. He called one of his best angels, Mario, and sent St. Mario to the Earth for a little while. When Mario returned, she told God, yes, it is bad on Earth. 95% of it is bad, and about 5% of it is good. Well, he thought for a moment and thought maybe he'd better send down a second angel to get another point of view. God called another angel and sent him to Earth for a time. The angel went back to God and he said, yes, the Earth is in decline. 95% is bad, and 5% is good.
Mm.
God said, this is not good. So he decides to send an email to the 5% who were good. He wanted to encourage them, to give them a little something to help them keep going.
Oh, yeah?
And do you know what the email said?
Well, no, no.
Oh, you didn't get one either, huh? That was a dirty trick. That was it.
Well, if your car is one of the 95% that ain't good, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. We're here to help. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jane from Columbus, Ohio.
J-A-N-E?
J-A-Y-N-E.
Oh, you're the third one.
We have to get those Janes straight.
Yeah.
See, now, my brother, in fact, one day said nobody else ever, no other Jane ever spelled her name with a Y in the middle of it, except for Jane Mansfield.
You know what? That's exactly who my mom, she named me after that.
After Jane Mansfield.
Yep.
She did. I mentioned, of course, Jane Zeemer.
Oh, okay.
Who called me the next day and said, stop mentioning my name on the air. So there, now that we know of at least three people named J-A-Y-N-E.
But you would never have had your name if it weren't for the original Jane Mansfield.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jane Zeemer told me that she was not named after Jane Mansfield.
Oh. No. Well.
She was named after her grandfather, Jane, who was a cross-dresser.
Fred Jane.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah. You are. Yeah. Wasn't there an injunction? There wasn't an injunction.
There was an injunction, yeah. But I forgot about it.
You violated your injunction. Anyway.
I forgot what you
told me. Jane from Columbus, what's up?
Well, I have a 1986 Oldsmobile Cutlass. It's a V8 engine, and the problem is it uses excess oil, and the oil's not going on the ground. It's not leaking on the ground, but it's going somewhere because I have to put a quart of oil in it like every 200 miles.
Yeah, it's in greater Columbus, your oil.
Yeah, it's all over the highway.
Think about it this way. You're not losing all of the oil because you're probably breathing in part of it when you go walking down the street. In fact, if you leave the windows open, you might breathe in more of it.
Oh, bummer, huh?
Yeah, I can't figure out. I don't want a new car right now because of the expense.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out what I can do. I don't have to put a quart of oil in about every week.
Well, just so we don't put our foot in our mouths, did this happen all of a sudden, or has it gradually been increasing in usage over the last 12, 13 years?
Well, no, because I didn't buy it until like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just been gradually doing it, I'd say, this past year. My dad and I keep checking it every couple days and just keep pouring the oil in, but it's not going on the ground.
I mean, a quart every 200 is pretty bad, but my brother once had a car that burned a quart every 50. It was so bad, he actually installed a catwalk so he could go out there and pop the hood while he was moving and add oil to it. You know, but, so I don't
200
know.
Two hundred is a lot of oil.
It's bad, and it's probably going to get worse. And if you're really sure that it's not leaking,
right?
The real remedy is to rebuild the engine.
I know.
But you're not going to do that.
You're not going to do that.
You can try additives, and you can try using 20W50 oil. We've had great luck with, believe it or not, Castrol 20W50 oil in reducing oil consumption on these beasts.
Because right now we're using 10W30.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you need to go. You might have to go to 80, 90. And then I would try that first. If that doesn't seem to help a lot, you can try any and all of the additives available on the market. In fact, you could go to an all additive and just forget the oil.
Aww.
That's very expensive.
An all additive concoction.
That comes out to be $13 a quart.
Oh, maybe more.
Maybe more.
But I've never tried that, but someone ought to. But I would want you to ascertain for sure that you're not leaking. And the way you're going to do that is to run the car with a piece of cardboard underneath it for like a half an hour.
Oh.
For example, if your oil pressure switch is leaking, it might not leak enough when you're sitting stopped at a light for you to see a big puddle or to leave a puddle in front of your house, because it will only leak when the engine is running. And if you start the car and drive right away, you're not going to have an opportunity to leave a very big puddle.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to eliminate that first before you go switching brands of oil and viscosities and going and buying all kinds of additives. Make sure that you don't have a leak like that.
I mean, if your father is sort of taking care of your car, he may know where the oil pressure switch is, and ask him to take a look at it. And just run your fingers around it, and if it's leaking, it'll be wet.
Okay.
Good luck, Jane.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tim calling from Boston.
Tim.
Boston, Mass.
Boston, Mass. How are you?
Great.
What's going on, man?
I've got an Audi Quattro Coupe, a 1990, and, you know, we're still in love and all that, but the car stalls on me every time I start it when it's cold.
Yeah?
The instant where you go from starting to running the engine, it just dies and it just cuts out totally. So I have to play games with the gas pedal. I have to give it a lot of gas and it'll run. Once the car warms up a little bit, it idles fine.
So what you do is you get it to start and you immediately floor it.
Pretty much.
He plays with the gas,
yep.
Right? You feather it, as we say.
Yeah, I'm playing the clutch and the gas.
And how long does it take on the clock for this condition to clear up?
The car has to get probably 20 minutes, maybe 15.
Oh, so for the first 20 minutes, you're feathering the gas pedal and so if you have to stop, you need 3 feet, right? You need one for the clutch, one for the brake, and one for the gas pedal.
Exactly. Yeah. At a certain point, I'm like, oh, my God, I can use 1 foot again. How nice.
How long does it take for that to sink in? You know, it may be cheaper for you to get a third foot than to fix this. Because this could run into money.
Maybe you could use a stick.
Well, maybe. 90 Audi, huh?
Yes, yeah.
It has a V6 engine.
V5. Whatever, five-cylinder.
Five-cylinder.
Yeah.
Oh, those were the days when six was too many, four was too few.
Yeah, I remember those ads.
Yeah, those crazy guys.
Well, I think you have a, if you're lucky, a faulty idle air control valve.
Wouldn't really? That be nice?
Now, you could also have a vacuum leak.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, usually 20 minutes is
20
way
minutes
too long.
Is a way too. That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, all the theories can't explain the 20-minute thing. This should be over in 5 minutes.
Okay. That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
You might have to go to a shop, because I think you could easily have a faulty coolant sensor, which is sending the wrong signal.
See, I like that
to the computer. But I think what you really have, my intuition.
You're feeling vacuum, aren't you?
No, I'm not. No, I feel that you have dirty injectors.
Really?
Yeah. I think you have injectors whose spray pattern is not up to snuff.
Okay.
I don't like that.
What do you like better?
I don't know. I don't like anything at the moment.
How about a hamburger? Like a hamburger with a nice slice of onion?
Onion, yeah. No, I mean, why would it run beautifully when it warms up? If it's injectors.
Well, he doesn't know it runs beautifully, but
At least it runs with 1 foot.
It runs.
Are you questioning?
Witness? Tim, what did you just say? At least it runs with one foot.
Yeah, it runs, yeah.
But if you're driving around the city and the 20 minutes goes by, when you throw it in neutral at a light, is it running perfectly smoothly?
The idle's a little lower than maybe I want it to be, but not enough to complain.
How's the acceleration off the line?
It's fine.
All right.
You've given all the wrong answers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. and as such, we've given you all the wrong answers. You know, I mean, it's only fair.
See, I like the coolant temp sensor.
Yeah, I'm beginning to like that the best of all.
I like it the best of all.
Okay.
But you're going to have to go to a shop, and you're not going to like what they tell you.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but either that or you could live with it.
Okay.
No, he can't. The guy's ready to commit suicide.
No, no, he's getting used to it.
Okay,
he's growing a third leg.
That's right.
You know, almost every car I've ever owned has had this very symptom. You know, and you do get good at it. It's pretty sad, you do get good at it. And what's good about it, no one's going to steal the
car.
Well,
you know, I was bemoaning the fact recently that we don't have enough jalopies on the road.
It's true.
You know, now in Massachusetts, and I'm sure other states too, we have a stricter inspection code. So not only have we gotten rid of the polluters, and I have no problem with that, but we've at the same time gotten rid of the cars with the bumpers hanging off. And the taillights smashed in. And you need a few cars like that to remind you where you came from.
Exactly. All where you are.
All where you are. Yeah.
But everything, you can't even get an inspection sticker in Massachusetts anymore if everything isn't perfect. Just the other day, in fact, yesterday, I was driving down the street. I had the windows open, driving my wife's car. And she said, there's a van in front of me that's spewing out all kinds of evil stuff. And she says, oh, my God, close the windows. That stink is terrible. And I said, I think it's great. Because it was burning oil. It was, I'm telling you, it was like manna from heaven.
Well, Tim, are you there?
I'm here. Yep.
Coolant temp sensor.
Okay, we'll give that a try.
All right.
Thanks very much.
See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, poor guy.
Oh, man.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Ann from Wimberley, Texas.
Hi,
Ann.
Wimberley, Texas.
Yes.
Near what?
It's about 35 miles south and west of Austin, Texas.
Oh.
In the hill country.
Oh, yeah, near Fredericksburg.
Uh-huh, on the way to Fredericksburg.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, we know where you are. We know where you are now, Ann, if we have to come and get you. So what's going on?
Well, I have a 99 Mazda Protege. And recently, my husband, who is a cowboy, borrowed my car because someone had borrowed his truck to go to the ranch where he works.
Uh-huh.
It was a hot day. He left the windows down. And during the course of the day, a horse ate my steering wheel.
They will do that, I hear.
Well, I was not aware of what a problem that was until, you know, everyone in the community who has horses says, oh, yeah, they love to nibble on cars.
I think we had a call once where a horse ate the side view mirror off somebody's car. The horse actually got in there and ate your steering wheel.
Yes, down to the bare metal.
Oh, is that how your husband got home?
Yeah, most people don't realize that underneath the plastic is a metal ring.
Yes, I didn't realize that either.
Well, you know it now. You're one of the few people who's ever seen that ring.
This is true.
So is this covered by insurance?
Well, I have been somewhat reticent to call my insurance agency.
You have to call Lloyd's of Lubbock.
And so I wondered if there was a way to patch this or whether I should go ahead and bite the bullet and make the insurance claim, because I don't know, does that whole unit with the airbag have to be replaced now?
Yeah, the whole thing is going to have to be replaced.
Not necessarily. Out of 99 Protege, they may be able to save the airbag and pod. You might be able to just buy the steering wheel. But it's not the kind of job that you necessarily want to do yourself.
Right.
You run the risk, unless you have detailed instructions, of blowing the airbag.
I think I'll take it to a professional.
You know, so you, exactly. I would just, you know, you could buy, you might be able to buy just the steering wheel and save the, like I said, save the airbag. And I think that's probably the case. But it may be covered by your insurance if it costs enough. But I don't think it's going to cost that much.
Well, whose horse was it?
Well, I mean, there were witnesses that saw the horses gathering around the car, but no one fingered a single horse. So I don't know which one did it.
Well, I got to check out the stalls. I think there'll be some evidence usually within about a day. It may be too late for that now. But, you know, I think, however, that the horse was probably going after the salt from the sweat in your hands.
And he had to eat the entire steering wheel to figure that out?
Well, when he got close to the metal, it started looking better and better. Jeez, Ann. Well, that's one of the more interesting calls, I'd say.
That's what you get being married to a cowboy.
And I thought that, you know, as a public service, you needed to alert people that if they're going to be around horses.
So all you people in New York City, be careful of this.
Ann, thanks for your call. And hope it doesn't cost you too much.
Thank you very much.
It's going to cost $500.
No, it isn't. No.
It's going to cost $500.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, good luck.
And you know how many rolls of duct tape you can buy for $500? Just keep wrapping that
duct tape. That's how many it's going to take.
We kept thinking, but it probably wouldn't be too attractive.
No, not really. No, if it was an 89 Mazda, I'd say do it. But no, your insurance or the horse's insurance will pay for it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. We may see you on Judge Judy in a couple of weeks. Good luck, Ann.
Good luck is right.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. It's time for us to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to answer last week's puzzler. Do you happen to remember it?
Well, I'm seeing a math puzzler. Is that true?
Gee, that's good.
Yeah, and I'm seeing fours, lots of fours. Fours everywhere.
What? You remember it!
No, I picked it in your notes.
Well, hey, at least you remembered to do that. That's progress, man. Well, the puzzler was, in fact, from my four series, and we'll be back with the whole story and more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
House stood empty for a long time before Maria moved in. I ran right over to greet her with my howdy neighbor grin. Well, maybe she was kind of shy, or I'm just not her kind of guy. 'Cause though it was deep in May, I felt the January wind. Well, I'd probably let it go at that if it hadn't been for that car. 'Twas a 59 Bug-Eye Sprite with them tiny SU carbs. Well, I had one back when I was young. I remember the walk and I remember the fun. All them happy memories stuck out in her yard.
And even though the NPR softball team tries to trade us to the History Channel whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Can hardly wait.
This was from my four series, and it was sent in by Elizabeth McCarahan. You ready?
I am ready, yeah.
She says, my son and his wife are both mathematicians. So for fun, I gave them both your recent three fours puzzler. Now, just to recap, the puzzler was, take the number four and use it three times to make the number 55. And you can use any operator, any math operator that you want. You know, addition, subtraction, decimals, fractions, square roots, all those things.
Yeah.
And the answer to that puzzler was 4 factorial, okay, which is 4 times 3 times 2 times 1, minus the square root of 4 all over 0.4.
Oh.
Okay, so 4 factorial is 24. You subtract the square root of 4, which is 2, so you get down to 22 now.
22, yeah.
And then 22 divided by 0.4 is 55. Pretty cute.
Wow.
Elizabeth goes on to say, I gave them that puzzler, and neither one of those dunderheads got the answer. So I emailed each of them your much easier 5-4s puzzler. Instead of 3-4s, you get 5-4s, and you have to make 55. And if you want to know the answer to that one, then the answer is 44 plus 44-fourths, right? Which is 44 plus 11, which is 55.
Simple.
Yeah, yeah. Elizabeth says, now my son got the answer right off, but his wife didn't. But it turned out that she didn't get it because she misread the question. Instead of trying to make 5-4s equal 55, she was trying to make 5-4s equal 54. So the question is, can it be done? And how can it be done?
Whew.
Can it be done? Can it be done? Well, of course it can be done. If it were doable, it wouldn't be a puzzler, right? So here's the answer that I have.
Yeah.
Now, there may be others, but this is...
Go ahead.
And I've had my hand slapped in recent weeks, so I'm, you know... The answer I have is 44...
44.
Plus the square root of 4, okay?
Yeah, that's 2.
Plus, in parentheses, 4 times the square root of 4, which is 8.
Yeah.
So it's 44 plus 2 plus 8, which is 54.
Yeah, pretty cute.
Well, it is until we get the other 500 answers. Anyway, do we have a winner?
We certainly do. Our winner this week is Jim Foss from Houghton, Michigan. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Jim is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a set of four, get it, four CarTalk reusable shopping bags.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. And by the way, these are already collector's items.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got about 40 of them collecting in the trunk of my car. Anyway, Jim, you can start your collection with four of them for being this week's Puzzler winner.
Congratulations, Jimbo.
Look, we have a new Puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, but first we'll take your calls at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eileen from San Francisco.
Now, would that be an I or an E-I, Eileen? I think it's an E-I.
You're right, E-I.
I have E-I-L-E.
E-I-E-I-O. From where? San Francisco.
Yes.
All right.
What's up, Eileen?
Well, I have a little Volkswagen Bug, and my hippie mechanic that works on it is really excited about putting a tachometer on it for me, and he tells me it's going to make my car last a lot longer.
Oh, so this is like a 64 Bug or some
63. Yeah, it's very cute. And I don't have a clue how to use a tachometer, and I also don't know, do I really need one? Or is he just financing his summer trip back to Oregon?
I've always found a tachometer to be helpful so that you would know at exactly what RPM the engine blew up. Say, you know, I was less than 5,000 RPM when the engine flew apart. But you've driven this thing, obviously, many, many years.
Is that true?
No, I just got it about 6 months ago.
Yeah, see, I think the reason he's suggesting that you do this is because he's seen you drive.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, you might be over-revving it.
Yeah.
Or under.
Yeah.
What did he, when you asked the reason, what did he say?
He just said that it would let my engine would last forever if I put a tachometer on it. And
well, that's all it takes.
That's it.
No more oil changes. No more tune-ups.
No.
And it's got to be added, because if it comes from the factory with a tachometer, we know this doesn't work.
Right.
Well, it's fairly easy to do, and assuming that he's not going to do anything elaborate like mounted in the dashboard, you're looking at, you know, $100-something probably.
But have you driven a stick shift car before?
Yes, I've driven a stick shift for a number of years.
I mean, first of all, it doesn't make all that much of a difference. And
okay.
If you have experience driving a manual transmission car, you can tell by the sound of the engine that it's time to shift, right? And if the engine is screaming, then you're shifting too late, and don't do that because you don't want the engine to be screaming. And if you shift and the car won't go because you shifted too soon, you know that right away, too. So you hardly need a tachometer to tell you that.
Well, it does help at the upper end. You may be shifting too late. In other words, you may be winding it out in every gear in your mechanic's estimation.
When you when you drive the car, does it sound like this? You put it in first gear. Into second gear. Third gear. Is that what it sounds like?
No, I don't push it that hard.
Good. Then you're doing it right. Forget it.
Oh, okay. Good. I like it. I like it.
No, you may be shifting too early. But look, does this guy have kids?
No.
Where's he going in Oregon?
I don't know.
Well, find out. He may need the $100.
I'll check.
Yeah, but no. It is. It certainly isn't necessary. If it were necessary, the manufacturer would have put one in. On the other hand, they did sell a lot of engines.
Yeah, they did.
And most people blew these engines because they overheated them and over-revved them.
Right.
If you shift too early, it will make the engine run hot. So what this fellow is trying to do in his statement where he says that he's going to make your engine last forever, he's trying to get you to shift within a range so that you don't shift too early and you don't shift too late. And if you do that, the engine will run its coolest. So there is some argument for having a tachometer.
Okay.
See if you can get the price down a little bit, though.
Okay, good. All right.
But if you didn't do it, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
No.
Okay.
And you could make the engine last forever even without it.
I like it.
You can do it.
See, Eileen.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to sell off those old spark plugs as 4th of July bottle rockets?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This This is the part of the show where we check back on one of our callers to see if the advice we gave was so good, so-so, or...
So sue me! So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Andy from Sitka, Alaska. Andy called us a few months back because his 79 Toyota pickup was crying out desperately for help.
I get up in the morning, I turn it on, and let it warm up for a few minutes. And I'm sitting in here having my coffee, and I could hear it making sounds like it's going...
What? What? Sitting where? What are you, in your igloo? I mean, you shut this thing off? You can't shut this off.
Yeah, right.
So by the time you get into the car, the truck, is it still making noises?
Yeah, a lot of times it is. It's just, you know, it starts racing, and then it's like backing off, and then it's sort of like stuttering, like...
It's been a long winter, hi, Andy. Been a long winter. You've had a lot of time.
Getting a little lonely up there.
So you don't actually drive this thing. You just start it up so you can have some company. Let me fire up the old songbirds and listen to the engine run for a few hours.
Let's just hope he wasn't singing back to the truck by the end of the winter there.
So what did we tell? I don't remember. What did we tell him?
I don't remember either, but it says on a little piece of paper here, Andy gave us another important hint. He said it also stalled out when he got to the one and only stop sign in Sitka. I remember that. So we quickly deduced that the secondary throttle in the two-barrel carburetor was sticking.
Oh, yeah.
We told him to stick a long screwdriver down there to see if he could unstick that throttle plate.
Well, let's see how we did. Andy, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
All right, look, before we find out whether the throttle was stuck.
Okay.
Yeah, or our brains were stuck.
We need to verify that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or that all-expense-paid 7 days, six-nights trip to Bora Bora that we gave you.
Right.
So was it the secondary throttle?
I stuck the screwdriver down in there, and it definitely usually works.
Holy cow.
Usually, you know. Now it sort of like lurches, you know.
Because you didn't fix it yet. Because by sticking the screwdriver in there, that was just a test. But now you can actually fix this so it doesn't happen again.
I'm not sure Andy wants to fix it.
I'm not sure I do either. It's got a lot of problems. The frame is cracked in a few places from so rusty, you know.
Yeah.
And there's so many little things that are adding up that I'm starting to say... Gosh, is there another free truck around town?
Why didn't you divulge all this to us last time? We would have hung up on you.
Well, I would say kiss it goodbye and take it to the vet.
Yeah.
Tell him it's time.
Are you having a good time up there?
Yeah, I'm having a blast. I wish I had some wheels right now that I'm in this little town, but that's all right.
Well, yeah, you need a girlfriend with a car. That'll solve all your problems.
I need to teach her.
Oh, maybe just a girlfriend.
Yeah, then you won't need the car.
Well, you got a couch anyway. So.
It's one or the other.
Good luck, and thanks for playing Stump the Chumps with us.
Hey, no problem. Thanks a lot for having me.
Good luck, man.
See you later.
All right.
If you hear someone on the show that you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, you can just email us the suggestion from cartalk.com. Do that,
wouldn't you? Or you can call us, and the number is 888-CAR-TALK. In fact, that's the same number that you can use if you want to call us about a question right now.
What are the chances of that?
888-CAR-TALK. That's 8-882-782-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Laura calling from Greenville, New York.
Dr. Laura, how are you?
I'm fine.
What's up?
Greenville, New York.
It's a small town south of Albany.
Oh, gee, up there, huh?
Yeah. Beautiful Catskill Mountains view. Very nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hence, I drive my 95 Subaru Legacy all-wheel drive wagon.
Yeah.
I had it for about 2 years. It's got 114,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
The gas gauge I'm noticing about 5 months ago is not accurately. It's like, you know, 3/4, half a tank, down to zero, back up to half.
Right, right.
And then after that, I'm going to fill it in the gas station, and it's stopping at about 6 gallons. Bing, it won't let me put any more in. It's a 12-gallon tank.
Oh, that's because it's not empty.
Well, okay, but then I go to get in the car, and the gas gauge is still only reading like 3/4 of a tank.
Right. Yeah.
It's never reading full.
Right.
And so I took it to the dealer, and they said, well, it's the probably the gas sensor, blah, 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 the gate.
Right, the sending unit, yeah.
$450.
Wow.
Which is a lot of money for, I mean, it's a convenience thing.
Sure. And you're calling us to see if we can touch up the x-rays.
Yes. I mean, is this, like, necessary? I mean, what can I do?
But here's what you have to do. You have any friends?
I have a brother who's handy with
doesn't have to be handy.
No, doesn't have to be handy. He has
Does he have a phone?
Did you see that episode of Seinfeld?
Do I know where you're going?
Yeah. Did you see that episode of Seinfeld when Kramer takes the Saab out for the test drive? And, of course, the needle's on empty.
Uh-huh.
And he decides he's going to drive it until it runs out of gas. And he finally convinces the salesman that it's going to be the biggest adventure of his life. So you have to set your trip odometer to zero.
You're
going to know what it can do, Laura.
But I got three kids.
Ah, leave the kids home.
Leave the kids home. When it gets down, when it reads empty and you would have gone to put in the lousy 6 gallons.
No, first of all, you fill the tank right to the tippity top.
Yeah.
And then you set the trip odo to zero. You reset the thing.
Right.
And you drive. And you drive. Mm-hmm. And when you think you're out of gas, you don't do anything. Keep going.
Okay.
And you have the brother-in-law follow you.
Yeah.
Oh, you take the cell phone. You got to know how far the thing will really go. My guess is you can go 400 miles on a tank full of gas.
Well, I mean, you do know how far you can go on 6 gallons.
Yeah. Well, yeah, true.
So you got to know. I think you got to know. And, you know, if you take a can of gas with you, you won't be stranded.
That's dangerous, isn't it? In the back of the car, 3 kids, fumes, that whole thing.
None of them smoke, do they?
No, it isn't dangerous. If you get an official certified gas can, it's not. I mean, it's dangerous, of course, but so's the gas in the tank dangerous.
Yeah, as long as you don't leave it in an unattended car. If you were to put the tank in the car and drive it, you know, with the can filled up, as long as it was closed, it would be all right. And then when you ran out, you would know exactly how many miles you go on a full tank of gas, and it would put your mind at ease. I mean, the alternative, of course, is to put the sending unit in, which I admit is a lot of money.
Where is the sending unit? Is it in the gas
tank? It sure is.
So they've got to take the tank off and take, or do they just put a new
I believe they have to take the tank out, which is pretty stupid.
So
there are a lot of cars which have an access hole, and some of the cars that are like the most absurd to work on, oddly enough, have the access hole. They figure they're killing you on everything else. They might as well give you an access hole that you can actually open up. It's a little metal plate with a bunch of screws, and then it exposes this sending unit thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take it out and blonk the new one in there in a few minutes.
It's actually quite unconscionable to not do this, because the only reason you have to take the tank out is because you have to access it from the top of the tank. And if you could only get to the top of the tank, you could do it, and it would be a lot cheaper than $450.
So it's a big labor issue.
Well, I don't know exactly. I'm sure the unit itself costs a few hundred dollars, if not more.
Yeah.
And it may be incorporated into the fuel pump. But I'll tell how many miles you have in this thing?
112.
112? Ask them if, in fact, it does include the fuel pump.
Okay.
Do it.
I will.
Do it, because the fuel pump's getting ready to conk out anyway. You might as well replace it.
So if it's included in the fuel pump, fix it.
If the fuel pump comes with it, then I would put it in. If it doesn't, then buy the gas can and drive, Laura, drive. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, look, it's time for us to take a brief little respite.
A respite? How civilized. Then we're going to have a repast during our respite?
Well, I'm going to pass something, but I don't think it would be very civilized to discuss it.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
Tooling down the highway doing 79. I'm a twin pipe popper and I'm feeling fine. Hey man, dig that. Was that a red stop sign? Transfusion. I'm just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Slip the blood to me, bud. I jump in my rod about 8:45. I gotta make a date with that chick of mine. I cross the center line. Man, you gotta make time. Transfusion, oh man, I got the cotton picking convolutions. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Shoot the juice to me, Bruce. My foot's on the throttle and it's made of lead, but I'm a fast riding daddy with a real cool head. I'm a gonna pass a truck on the hill ahead. Transfusion, my red corpuscles are in mass confusion. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Pour the crimson in me, Jimson.
And even though the NPR lunch lady mixes up two Ipecac milkshakes whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Go, baby!
The original idea of this was sent in by, I forget who it was, but we would have gotten ourselves in a lot of trouble if we lose his version. So I had to rethink it, reword it, and more importantly, re-unclarify it. You ready?
Yeah, okay.
Tim,
sit here and close my eyes and be one with the Puzzler.
Okay. Tim and Jethro were happy to have their new jobs at the newest do-it-yourself gas station in town. And since the Farmer's Almanac had predicted this to be the coldest winter since the last ice age, they were happy to be working indoors while the customers pumped their own gas. And, in fact, this station was so modern, it even had a video camera for each of the pumps, so they could monitor the customers and almost never have to step outside. The video cameras were mounted overhead, and they were set up to show just the rear of each car as it rolled up to the pumps. Mm-hmm. That's so they could see the license plates, you know?
Yeah.
Well, when the boredom of the jobs finally set in, they began to play a little game. And the game was to guess which car pulled up with its fuel door on the wrong side. In other words, you know, some cars have the filler door on the right side and some have it on the left. And most of us can't remember which side our fuel door is on. And if you don't pull in with your fuel door on the same side as the pump, you have to back out and turn around and do all that maneuvering, right?
Yeah.
Now, as I said, the video camera showed only a straight-on shot of the back of the car. And at no time could Jethro or Tim see the sides of any of the cars where the fuel doors are. And they had to make their bets before the driver shut off the key and exited the vehicle. Hmm. So that they could see the back of the vehicle. And as before the guy shut off the key and got out and did the, you know, hitting of the head, like, oh, stoop, you went there, you have to move the car, they had to make their wagers. Well, Jethro was correct like 99% of the time. And Tim was correct about 50% of the time because he was just guessing.
Yeah.
Which leads to a very important question. Why aren't we right at least half the time? Anyway, the question is, what did Jethro know that Tim did not? Now, Jethro claimed that he could tell by the license plates, but we knew that that was probably what?
Bogus.
Bogus, right. So the question is, what did Jethro know that enabled him to tell when a driver had pulled up to the pump with the fuel door facing the wrong way? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or in the back of a gift certificate for a four-night stay at the Canyon Ranch Berkshire's Health Resort, including therapeutic body work, hydro massage, skin consultation, pedicure, aromatherapy wrap, and racquetball lessons.
Very specific. I like it.
And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
our Fair City,
Matt 02238. Now, I should mention that there are all kinds of hints in here.
There are.
I should mention that. I didn't say it was true.
I didn't notice that.
And also,
hints.
You can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. Good luck. Why? Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Grant in beautiful Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Grant.
I have two Volvos.
Really? What
yes.
vintage?
One's an 83 DL station wagon and one's a 90 DL sedan.
So is one of them not doing too well?
No, the problem is actually my wife and I are seeing a marriage counselor. Mm. And she suggested calling you guys as an exercise in solving some of our car problems.
Really?
Marriage problems, yeah.
Ah, so you think the car and the marriage problems are intertwined, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's do our best.
So what? One of the problems, one of the many problems are, when we're out driving and my wife decides to stop and shop or go visit some of her friends, I would rather stay out in the car And so I have something to do. I turn on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And she claims that by turning the ignition on and listening to the radio for hours and hours, I'm ruining the points. And I tell her she's got it all wrong and there's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
What basis do you tell her that you're not ruining the points?
Because I want to listen to the radio.
Try this next time.
Try this, yeah. Go ahead, Tommy.
Doesn't have any points. Isn't that good, huh?
Well, that was a rather sinister chuckle.
Yeah.
This is true?
It's true.
Yeah, this is true.
Neither one of these cars has points. Both of these cars have electronic ignition, neither one of these cars cares if you leave the key on for 5 days.
And even cars that do have points have an accessory position.
And these cars don't.
These cars don't because they don't need it. But if it did have points and you turned it to the on position, she could be right. But if you turned it to the accessory position, electricity goes everywhere except to the points.
And now who do you figure she heard that from?
Us.
No. Well, besides us.
No, she probably heard it from her father.
Her father, yes.
Of course.
Yeah. No, her,
no, it's her father because in his day that was absolutely true.
See, and that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, good. That was good thinking.
But today's her birthday.
Today's her birthday.
Yes.
All right, here's what you do. You say, "Hun, you'll never guess what I got you for your birthday." I took out that old ignition system that was in these two cars and replaced both of them with electronic ignition so that they no longer have points. You were absolutely right. I was burning up the points, but it will never happen again because the cars don't have points anymore.
And they wonder why my brother sleeps in the garage as often as he does.
And, oh, shoot.
You can't have a relationship based on lies.
All right, try this. I talked to the car guys, and they said your head was square.
Ah!
They said you were absolutely wrong, and I was right. And it's just another example of my being right all the time. When the hell are you going to shape up and understand that? And happy birthday, by the way. Try that.
Hmm.
Yeah. I like that better.
I don't know how that'll work.
All right, there's got to be a middle ground here.
So when she goes shopping, she goes with her girlfriends?
No, she goes alone.
Just alone.
So you drop, why don't you go in? Where does she go that you don't want to go with her?
Oh, I don't like shopping at all.
Oh, I, Grant.
You've got
to give
it. Every relationship is give and take.
Oh.
You know, and I don't like shopping either.
Well, the truth is that most women don't want husbands to be shopping with them.
I love to shop with my wife because I drive her nuts. When we go grocery shopping together, as soon as she turns her back, I throw in like 7 or 8 cans of marshmallow fluff. And we get to I bury them. When we get to the checkout counter, she says, "How the hell did all this stuff get in here?" I say, I don't know, but it's too. But if you give up your spot, you're going to be there for another hour, so we have to buy
it. And you can't pile up 8 jars of marshmallow fluff on the little thing there. What do you call that thing?
The conveyor?
The conveyor belt.
Oh, no, we have to buy the stuff. It's in our wagon. If it's in your wagon, you're obligated by law to buy the stuff.
But I know, but you can't blame Grant for not wanting to go shopping with us because she's probably looking at clothing and she's going to say, "Do I look fat in this?" And then what do you do?
Then you have to lie.
Then you're going to lie. So if you're going to lie, why not lie about the points? That's my point.
But yeah, I never touched the car, so if I actually told her I did that, boy, that'd be a big...
No, you had it done. She's not going to believe you if you tell her.
Oh, I see.
You had it
done.
See, I don't think I want to encourage Grant to lie. I think Grant should tell the truth that he heard it from us, and Grant should try shopping once in a while.
All right.
All right?
Give and take.
Give and take. There you go, brother.
Can I have the number of this marriage counselor?
he's gonna need to talk to her.
I'm going to need to talk to her about some issues. I have issues.
Yeah, we know that. See you, Grant.
Hey, thanks for calling. I hope we've helped.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We didn't help.
No, you never, ever know.
Speaking of...
Help
and the fact that I sleep in the garage very frequently because I have such poor wife skills.
Yes.
You'll never guess who we got email from today.
One of your first wives? First Wives Club?
No. Tom Goodale. And you know why I thought of him in this context, but I don't want to discuss it.
No kidding.
Tom had more ex-wives than I did.
Yeah.
Man, he had ex-wives.
I mean, maybe like five. Or
maybe like
we
five.
We don't know. We haven't seen him for years. He could be up to an even dozen.
That was my first question to him. How many ex-wives do you have now?
A great guy whom you never would want to be married to, but a
he
wonderful
the,
guy.
The sweetest person. He says, you probably don't remember me. And I wrote back, how could we forget you? Tom was one of the very first customers that we had when we opened our first garage.
Indeed.
And he helped us to build our classroom.
He did indeed.
Not he helped us.
He built
our classroom.
Yeah.
We made a deal with him. He saw us struggling there, and he was doing something to his car, rebuilding a carburetor or something. And he says, look, it's clear that you guys don't have any idea what you're doing with the wood here and the 2x4s. He said, and I don't know anything about cars. How about you fix my car, I'll build the classroom. So we said, what a deal. We fixed his car in 15 minutes.
He was up there for 6 months.
He was up there for 6 months rebuilding the car.
Of course, no. We haven't heard from him since this email.
Now, that was one of the best deals we ever made.
No, he's a good guy.
Well, he's going to have coffee with us.
Excellent.
I invited him over.
Cool. 1-888-227-8255, a lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Jessica. And I'm in Bloomington, Indiana.
Hi, Jessica. How
are
you?
Hi there.
Hi, I'm good. I have a strange problem. I have a 1992 Volkswagen Jetta, and I inherited it from my mother at the beginning of this year. And I have a very unique problem with it. It doesn't happen to her. It happens to me, and this is what I'm trying to figure out, is that it shocks me when I put the key in the ignition. It gives me an electric shock. And this never happened to my mom, and it happens to me. And the best that I've been trying to figure it out, and the best I can figure out is that I have kind of big hair, and I didn't know if that was kind of the problem.
Big hair will do it.
Big hair.
Okay. I'll tell you what else it has to do with.
What kind of clothing do you wear?
Clothing. I guess I might wear shinier clothes than my mother in general, maybe. Nah.
And what kind of upholstery in the Jetta? It's not that really ugly stuff that the...
Yeah, it's not very pretty.
Man, they got some taste in fabric.
Yeah.
German cars have the weirdest upholstery.
But this is just an opportunity for my brother to insult yet another ethnic group. So go, feel free, man. Do whatever you think
is
best.
Well, I mean, it's a narrow thing. It's people who design the fabric in factories in Germany that make certain kinds of cars.
And who would those people be?
Germans. but it does have cloth fabric, your car.
Yeah, it is cloth, and it could be more hideous, but it is kind of fuzzy.
And I know I've asked this question at least once before. Do you use a cream rinse?
I do use a cream rinse.
You do use a cream rinse.
Jessica does use a cream rinse.
Yeah.
I remember when you asked this question once before.
Well, here's the deal, and I'll tell you, I have, in the winter especially, and I suppose now that the weather's hot and humid, it is probably the severity of these shocks has diminished.
Yes.
Probably, maybe even disappeared.
Right.
I do not have the problem in the summer, but in the winter,
yeah,
or the fall, the fall is the worst. Boy, I go out to almost any car that I'm driving, and sometimes even opening the door can do it.
Zap you.
Okay.
It's brutal. And I've discovered what it is.
The cream rinse.
I don't use a cream rinse because they ain't nothing to rinse anymore. It is my shoes.
Woo!
Oh.
It is the soles of my shoes, which are non-conductive rubber.
Huh.
And this is the same reason that many cars develop a static charge, and then when you go to the toll booth and hand that poor toll booth person your quarter,
you zap them
because the tires cannot discharge into the road, and my shoes do not allow me to discharge.
Well, Jessica doesn't have the shoe problem because she only gets it when she puts the key in the ignition, indicating to me that she's building up the charge as her butt slides across that ugly upholstery in the Jetta.
Maybe. Maybe.
So I should wear cotton pants.
I would switch to cotton for a while and see what happens. But I like the hair theory.
Well, I had an impression that had something to do with it, just because that's a big difference between myself and my mother.
Yeah.
I wish I had a theory to explain how that would work, but I don't.
Okay.
But the butt theory I know is true.
Okay. Yeah, but if this discharge of electricity is taking place before you actually start the car, this is as soon as you get the key next to the switch, right?
Right.
A spark jumps.
Bingo.
Yeah, right. It ain't the car that's causing it. It's you, or as my brother said, it could be the seats. Okay. You can try covering the seat with something. You can try walking out there with bare feet or different shoes.
Or drive naked.
Or naked, yes. Or a cream rinse.
Or a cream rinse.
A different cream rinse.
Maybe more cream rinse.
Maybe more.
Jessica, thanks for calling. You made my day.
Good. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producer is David the Cavs of Belleville Green. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Eau Claire, braised hair, poached pear, sole meunier, haricot vert, pomme de terre, and chocolate eclair food fair, is John Bugsy Lawler. He's getting hotter every week. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. Our transgender studies expert is Ben Hur. The head of our organ donation program is Olivia McCollin. Our layoff counselor is Harry Verderchi. Our head diagnostician is Pat Ansa. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to, of course, our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Royal Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the dogs defiling Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And I've got a suggestion.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1025, stroll through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a lot of our favorite stations are ending their fiscal years right about now.
That's right, closing up both sets of books. So this is the perfect time to give this station an extra boost by donating your used car.
How much do you think they'd get for my Fiat?
I don't want your donated cars have to still cast a shadow. But if you have a decent older car, rather than trade it in for short money, donate it to this station through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You get a tax deduction, and your station gets money for more programming.
To arrange a pickup or to find out more, just head over to cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Robert Siegel won as if they're still hiring at the census, whenever we say it, this is NPR.